Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Right now, we get the sense of we gotta fix everything right now, and the opportunities are really limited. But I feel comfortable with between the rest of free agency. We're only 2 days into it, as well as in the draft, that we can get that group as good as we possibly can. And at the same time, there are going to be some weak spots on our roster that we can't fix everything, but we are going to stay flexible to do the best we can to get better. And then, again, if you go from a short-term thinking of we got to do everything right now, you extend that out and do things the right way, over time we'll be able to heal up all of those positions.
It's just so nice to have a general manager when you hear the voice like, whoa, we haven't heard that voice in a while. Or he's always saying stuff, and he's saying material things. It's not just what we're used to of excitement and blandishments and generalities and insistence that he can't say certain things despite it being a media availability for the sole purpose of him saying things.
No, it's a total... I would say it's a 180 when you consider how transparent Ryan Poles is compared to Ryan Pace. Again, I don't know if that was intentional. I remember feeling the same way about Matt Nagy whenever he was hired, that he was more transparent than John Fox, and then things didn't turn out that way ultimately, but it started out that way. So I will take pulling back the curtain in a way that we haven't seen. And I wonder if it's a trend in the NFL. I wonder if you're going to see more GMs go that direction, where they are a little more candid, because you talk about interpersonal relationships like the one Poles has with Scott Fitterer. But I don't know. I'm curious to see how all that shakes out, but I'll take the info for now, that's for sure.
And we know that he was in Tuscaloosa, and he was watching Alabama's pro day. We had talked to Jason Leisure, and Leisure wrote it up in the Sun Times. And obviously the two top guys, Will Anderson, Bryce Young, won't be there when the Bears are drafting at 9. But those Alabama rosters always have NFL talent up and down them. And it also doesn't mean that the Bears are locked in at number 9. Who knows where they may end up? There's a lot of options here.
Leisure talks about that in the article. And I know that's something that perked your ears, hearing the possibility that because of the lack of upper echelon talent, what's the use in being in a middle ground right now at 9?
Yeah, it's a late graph in the story, but he says now that the Bears have traded too far back to reach the blue players that Poles identified at the top of the class, it would probably be even easier to stomach trading back again to stockpile extra picks. And I tend to agree with that. Once you're not starry-eyed about some of those guys, and I know we've spent a lot of time talking about Jalen Carter and that possibility, but I'm never going to argue if he says, look, we need dudes and we need more swings, more bites at the apple, and this is what we're going to do. And they may give you ammo later in the draft to jump up a couple slots if you need to.
He did that last year. And unfortunately, there were still some people who got drafted ahead of some of the picks that didn't work out, where on the offensive line, for example, at wide receiver, for example, you could have said, would that have been a better pick for this team? You can ask the question.
So here are the critical quotes from Ryan Poles. He says, you do the calculations. Is that one player going to help us more than having the opportunity to add multiple players? To be good in this job, you can't fall in love with one player. guys like Will Anderson, when they're out of reach, it's always hard because you do become a fan of some of these players. Once you start falling in love with a player and saying this one guy's going to be a Hall of Famer, which there's many, not many of them there, you fall into the trap of being narrow-minded. You should really have an open mind on how to approach the draft. There's no certainty. Just look at the statistics. So we feel comfortable with what we did.
Man, that sounded like a subtweet, did it not?
Of?
When he says, once you start falling in love with a player and saying this one guy is going to be a Hall of Famer, you didn't think he was talking about Mitch Trubisky, for example?
I don't think he intended it. I mean, obviously, I don't think we're wrong to infer it, but I don't think he was implying it.
Is there another example you can think of where he might have been referring to someone in particular? That's the most public one to me that sticks out.
Yeah, but there's a million. I mean, whether every year you can look at guys where people just get way overexcited about guys and overdraft them and oversell them to their fan base. That's really where the mistake comes in sometimes, is in how you present that pick. You may back into a pick. And you may end up with something less than a consensus in your draft room, and you say, all right, well, let's roll the dice. But it's then afterwards, well, this is the guy we wanted all along. We've been targeting this guy.
We couldn't believe he was available at X pick.
Yeah, that's where you start to screw up. But there are more comments from polls here talking about how he ended up signing Tremaine Edmonds and talking about some of the free agency moves, where he said, the crazy thing is how fast free agency or a trade opportunity comes up. So I remember watching Edmonds. As an evaluator, you're always trying to sharpen your knife, regardless of what you may need right now. You want to stay in tune to the quarterbacks, how they move, how they throw. So you always have that Rolodex to compare to as the years go by. And that means that's the truth about a lot of evaluators, that somebody they like, they usually don't stop liking.
Chase Claypool is the best example right here. Do you think that information, though, the most recent in Pittsburgh, changed Ryan Poles' mind on him? I would say no, based on what he gave up.
I'm giving Claypool a chance. There is a lot of negativity surrounding him and a lot of people writing him off just because of they took the small sample of last year on a terrible football team and said, well, that's what we have. I think he's got a shot still.
I wanted the Bears to draft him, if you'll recall. I think that was pre-you. I think that was 2020. So I wanted the Bears to draft him, and they ended up taking Cole Kmet. But I still feel like that's a very good example of what you're talking about. Scout Ryan Poles like Chase Claypool. Scout Ryan Poles still likes Chase Claypool. Mm-hmm. GM Ryan Poles still likes Chase Claypool.
And you heard it from Poles after they acquired him. When he started, he had to catch himself and keep himself from gushing too much over the elite body length and the physical ability that he had. And you could hear it. If you listen carefully, you know who guys like more than other guys.
And I feel like that's not just a Bears thing.
No.
That's absolutely something that you can spread across the league.
That's one of my favorite things. If you ever go to a scouting combine of any kind, the poker game that's played about while watching a drill where everybody knows something cool just happened, but no, it's not like you're in a bar and people go, oh, dude, did you see that? Because you can't. And you just, you know, everybody has their own little thing. Either it's take a sip of coffee or look down and scribble a note, just like the hockey coach does after a goal kind of thing. Just I loved watching scouts scout and watching general man at the NBA combine. It was great. And everybody was sitting at the Moody Bible Institute, and you would see some absolute sick between the legs, jump, stop, dribble, and a thunderous dunk off 2 feet with the offhand, and everybody knows what they're seeing. And occasionally you'd see a sidelong glance like, oh my God, you see that? But most people do not break.
Nonplussed.
They don't break. They're just like, oh, okay, that's nice. Yeah, where are we going for lunch?
Right. And fan over here would be like, oh!
If that happened at the Rucker, that same dunk, they wouldn't restart play for another 15 minutes because people would be falling out.
Get a lap in around the top of the stand.
Yes. Yeah, you've seen that before. You've seen there were like Vince Carter dunks at the Rucker tournament that had people just like on their knees and seeing the light of the Lord.
Yeah. Yeah, that's loving the game. And it could be anything. High school basketball, I've done that, like a 3A something tournament. I was like, that's amazing. Like, everybody stands up. This is not that. You're right. This is completely the opposite of that. You can't let anybody know what you're thinking, how you're thinking it, what you might do. But he did tell Peter King a little bit about what went into his decision-making process. When you read this article, does it make you think that he's going to trade down again?
Well, I don't think he's given Jason Leisure something on background. Says, hey, you know, you might want to speculate that we could. I think it's completely reasonable seeing how much mountain the Bears still have to climb here.
That's the problem is, to me, your needs are so many. Do you get a player who you know is going to answer one specific question? If they had stayed at one, say you take Will Anderson. Say it works out the way you think it does. You've just answered that need on the defensive line. One of them, the biggest piece of something you might need. So then you hold off on trying to figure out other pieces, right? The problem here is we have so much meat we need. It's like, well, let's answer the numbers need with numbers instead of the positional mm-hmm. need with position. Or the talent need with talent.
And then you figure it out.
Like, and he did that last year. That was the approach in the draft last year, was to trade down, get a couple more picks. And I'm not sold on the idea of those players being answers when they're still, it's a quantity, not quality thing.
Poles was not there by himself. Ian Cunningham, assistant GM, was there. Matt Eberflus was there. DC Alan Williams, OC Luke Getsy, and offensive line coach Chris Morgan were there. So then there's a list of, okay, if you're not going to get Anderson and you're not going to get Bryce Young, who are you looking at? Well, here's that list from Alabama alone. Defensive back Brian Branch, a projected first rounder. Cornerback Eli Ricks. Running back Jahmyr Gibbs. Linebacker Henry Isitoo Toa. And defensive tackle Byron Young. Look like they'll go in the second and third rounds. Offensive tackle Tyler Steen and several others are intriguing as well. Says Byron Young intrigues for the Bears in the third round, given Eberflus's emphasis at that position. He's ranked as the number 12 defensive tackle in the draft. And he also, we talked about DJ Fluker, who's mm-hmm. trying to make a comeback and was showing off that he's lost 100 pounds or whatever. At 32 years old, Leisure describes him unlikely candidate for the Bears.
I was curious. Because of how many people in the league need offensive linemen, how many teams. But I do think he lands somewhere as a backup.
Think so?
Age. Think about how Jason Peters was still demanding.
Yeah, but Jason.
This past year. He's a Hall of Famer.
Different pedigree. I mean, Jason
Peters.
He's
a Hall of Famer. Yes. But the age at some point gets to you.
Usually.
Although I felt this way about Alex Leatherwood.
Yeah, I don't think he can play. I don't there's
a soft spot in my heart for offensive line reclamations.
That's not an age thing, though. I think that's a can't block anybody thing.
Well, how do you get out of the league exactly? Block if your job is to block and you're not blocking, they'll find a way.
Right? Yeah, that seems to be a huge problem for some people. And maybe it's some guys are scheme based. You get some guys who can move from a man scheme to a zone scheme or oppositely and just fall into the right opportunity. Or sometimes the light goes on. I just based on the way playing time was doled out last year for a team that needed all the help it could get, and if he couldn't supply any given every opportunity, probably not happening.
Well, the outside zone, too. I think that asks a particular demand, as we've heard before, from offensive linemen, which is why I'm like, what are you doing? Just get an offensive lineman at 9. That's just me. But you know what? That doesn't solve the problem with the defensive line needs. And that's where I'm at with this. Every time I think of one need, I think of other needs.
And he said it. The phrase he used was, they're not going to fix everything in one year. They're not going to do everything all at once. I also don't think that they have a hard and fast plan about the order in which they can fix it. I think they're much more to what you just said. They're not going to set out and say, well, first defensive line or first offensive line. I think they're looking at what players are available to us, and that is going to be the limiting factor in how we decide what gets fixed. It's based on who we have, not just reaching for people to plug in.
But there's so many different ways they can go with that draft pick, right? We've heard people say that they should draft Bijan Robinson from Texas. And that was prior to signing Deontay Foreman, also who went to Texas. But was that something that people wanted to see? You could have made the argument that, yeah, Texas and Bijan Robinson would have made a great match with the Bears. But they, you know, that's not the biggest need. You could say they could draft Jackson Smith and Jigba, but they have a WR1 now with DJ Moore. Is that the biggest need? There's all these different ways you could say, well, if that's the best player left mm-hmm. at that spot, what are you going to do? And it's a draft discussion as old as time, but we're still here because they have so many needs, and these people could make such a difference on this team. If you name somebody, it's likely an upgrade at that spot.
Need as old as time.
But it is. I mean, I hate that whole, like, the typical, do you draft for positional need or you draft the best player available? But the problem is, the best player available, regardless of position, is going to be better except for quarterback.
I'll tell you what's going to happen on this show. Bernstein's going to sing Angela Lansbury. I called it. I knew it. I knew he was going to do that today.
I'll tell you what nobody's talking about.
The McCaskies. I had to watch that movie so many damn times.
Beauty and the Beast?
All of them.
I feel like you're preparing yourself for Empty Nest.
I can't even. I hated Disney after a while. And because, you know, Jason was down at Disney with the baseball team. So I'm sort of reliving our Disney experiences. And when Zoe was in her princess phase, and it was all princesses all the time. You just, and like the movie, the actual movie Snow White, that's like, you want to go with Aaron Rodgers into the darkness because that movie's so awful.
What's happening there?
What?
You
know, Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah.
Or Snow White. I don't know what Snow White is. It's unwatchable.
Like, not Snow
like
White.
The movies got so much better. Like once Jason was like, can we watch Cars? Of course we can watch Cars. And like the Pixar movies and Toy Story and Ratatouille and all that stuff. I mean, these are movies I could watch all day. Monsters, Inc. Incredible movie. But, oh, God, those princess movies. And what's a Sleeping Beauty's just horse crap, too. Nothing is worse than Snow White. I know it's important. I know it's like, I mean, I would rather play Candyland than watch. And she'd always want to put a princess movie on. And we have, and like, how about Cinderella? Huh? How about Cinderella? I want to watch Snow White. I'm like, oh, God. That's before weed was legal, too. Like, that would save you as a parent now. It's like the moment, oh, yeah, I'll put on Snow White, but man, I'm going to do a bunch of huge bong hits first.
Well, didn't Disney stop the whole princess movie thing after a while?
No, they just diversified a little bit with like Moana and.
But they stopped, right? Like, Frozen is the last one.
Is it?
I don't know.
I just think that stage just sucked. It's everything about it was bad. And then you go and you have brunch at Cinderella's castle, and it's like, hey, Cinderella's here, and she's like, oh, great. I'm like, well, this is supposed to be like the highlight of your life. Aren't you excited? Yeah, kinda. Okay. Well, there was Jasmine, and there's Ariel, and there's all the others, and then you give everybody all your money, and you fly home.
I think they stopped doing all the princess movies. Guys, I could be wrong. I don't have kids, so I don't really know. And neither of my siblings, well, all three of them, none of them have kids. So I don't...
You didn't have a Disney princess phase?
No.
Good.
I watched movies ad nauseum, but I think, I don't know, I liked Robin Hood, the cartoon Robin Hood. I always thought that was pretty great. I definitely watched like Aladdin and Little Mermaid and stuff, but I don't know that I watched anything like to that extent. I thought that the first Batman movie was really cool when it came out.
Of course.
I thought it was like the coolest thing I'd ever seen. Dumb and Dumber, I thought, was the funniest movie of all time.
But like at a young age, like 4 and 5.
Well, yeah. Oh, gosh.
Like for me, it was just fire engines.
I don't know.
For me, I had, you know, little dinosaurs, but fire engines were the thing. And I would watch Emergency, and I would wear a fire hat everywhere. And I would visit, my mom would take me to visit the Deerfield firehouse so many times that they got sick of me.
That tracks.
because I would come in and ask a bunch of questions. They're like, get this kid out of here already.
Were they what if questions? Were you asking hypotheticals?
No, I was asking very specific questions about the names of the different trucks and the different ladders and like the hose diameters and stuff. And I don't know what I was, but I had to know everything. It was Chief Gainey was his name, and they had a Dalmatian named Sparky.
They had a Dalmatian?
They did. It was a stereotypical like middle American firehouse with they lived upstairs, and it looked like the one in Ghostbusters.
That's pretty great. Yeah. I hated Lady and the Tramp. I remember that. I was not a fan of that movie. I don't know why. Can't tell you.
Really?
Just didn't like it.
Okay. It's got to be a reason. I don't know. Do you not like spaghetti? Romantic spaghetti dinners?
No, I like spaghetti.
You don't like horrible Italian stereotypes, perhaps?
I like really was annoyed by the Siamese cat song.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was pretty awful.
We are Siamese, if you please.
Yeah, I was this is terrible.
Yeah, because that's...
I also didn't, as you know, I didn't like Tom and Jerry either.
Yeah, because the Siamese cat thing is kind of racist, too.
Because
they have that sort of Asian
music. We can go back
in there.
And, yeah, there's a lot there.
Don't watch Peter Pan, man. Ooh, we had to turn that one off right in the middle because I forgot.
But I thought Hook was cool.
But this was the original Peter Pan that we put on. That movie also sucks, too, and it's racist. But, God, just stay away from Snow White if you can. If you're thinking about having kids, and just be careful with the Disney princess phase. And
I think it's inevitable. Pretty much every friend I have has a kid who has a Frozen dress.
And don't buy Candyland. Just pretend you don't understand it, that you think it doesn't exist. And if they're at a friend's house and they see it and they want you to buy it, move to Finland.
No, loved Candyland.
Nobody
loved it.
No.
Thought it was the greatest thing ever.
But as a kid, you do.
Yeah.
Because it never ends.
Correct.
That's why you like it as a kid, because you don't have to go to bed. You have to play Candyland. Can we play one game of Candyland before bed? And then it's 4 in the morning.
That's how we were with, like, video games.
Yeah, but the parent doesn't have to participate in the video games.
Oh,
the
dad parent, wrecked shop in Tetris.
The parent has to participate in Candyland.
I see.
The moment you see it in your house, burn it.
By the time all this information, I wonder if I'm ever going to use it. Aw, how bleak.
Megan Montemurro covers the Chicago Cubs for the Chicago Tribune, and she's got the latest information. One of their pitchers is just carving people up.
Hard to watch other games.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Him yesterday.
Appointment television. So we'll talk to her about all things Cubs next on The Score.
You're listening to Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score. It's Odyssey Station. And a pitch. Thanks for playing. And there's two away. Rivera. And a swing and a miss. Wisniewski pitches around a two-out single. Wisniewski gets the punch out. Is that the changeup?
First changeup of the day.
Got him looking. 0-2 to Lourdes Gurriel Jr. Did he go? Yes, he did. Struck him out.
I think I saw two different sliders, too. I'm pretty sure that there was a one that drops and one that sweeps. And if he's got that going, oh, boy.
What if it was a sleeper?
Ooh, see, you're combining them. That was sort of like our idea of combining Juan Uribe with Elvis Knight. And have Juan Uribe show up dressed as Elvis and perform Elvis songs. But that's not why you called.
That's pretty great.
Those Hayden Wisniewski highlights were courtesy of the Marquee Network. And here to talk Cubs with us is Megan Montemurro, who has been doing a terrific job covering the Chicago Cubs for the Tribune. And Megan joins us on the Score Hotline presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. You can follow her on Twitter at @M_Montemurro. Megan, how you been?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Trying to figure out the opening day roster, Megan, which is, I think, something that you were also trying to do.
It's definitely that part of the season.
And then thusly also trying to figure out the fifth starter. Hayden Wisniewski got the start yesterday. 5 innings, 5 strikeouts. That slider was disgusting. Do you think he's this team's fifth starter?
I do. I mean, you just look at his body of work this spring. He's just really looked dominant for most of it. And when, you know, his previous outing, he ran into a little trouble. You know, he minimized the problems, got through the inning. And you want your guys to face a little bit of adversity in spring to see how they respond to that. I think the Cubs were really pleased to see how he overall performed, even when he had a couple of hiccups. You just look at what he did the past few weeks, plus, you know, the glimpses that they saw last year. He seems like he's right in position to be that number five guy.
Is he technically a rookie?
I think he maintained his status because I don't think he hit the innings requirement last year.
That's very impressive. And I've talked a lot about him in various other spaces because I know he was a polished product when he got traded here, but I still think he was somebody who had to be developed.
And a Polish product.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even think about that. But he still had to be developed, Megan. And I feel like it's just another feather in the cap of what the Cubs are trying to do in developing pitching talent.
Yeah. I mean, when you look at their pitching infrastructure top to bottom, you know, from Craig Breslow, you know, in the front office all the way down through, you know, Tommy Haddaby, Daniel Moskis, Chris Young. I mean, they really have a good grasp of how to bring the best out of guys. I mean, you've seen in the bullpen the last few years where they bring in some veteran guys, really kind of get them to that next level. And they kind of just keep churning through that each year. It's been really impressive. And then you look on the starting pitching side, what Wisniewski has shown. I mean, Javier Assad has been incredibly impressive, dating back to not this past offseason, but even before then. You know, they were working with him on a velocity program, you know, which they saw a glimpse of last year, and then getting that big league experience and going through the same velocity program in this past offseason. I mean, we all saw what he did in the World Baseball Classic where, you know, he's sitting 95 and touching 97. I mean, It's been really impressive what they've been able to do. And part of that has been their ability to help guys either refine their sliders, or they've been having guys add that sweeping slider pitch. There have been at least, I believe, 10 plus that were in big league camp who added the sweeping slider to their repertoire. So, yeah, it's just been really impressive the way they've been able to get on a roll organizationally the last couple of years on the pitching side.
And while we're here, I don't know how Javier Assad fits into all of this. If they send him to AAA, if they keep him in the bullpen, he pitched in relief in the World Baseball Classic.
Yeah, and it's a really tough question that they face. You know, does he have more value as potentially the first guy up, from the AAA rotation? Or, you know, we know how much they value these multi-inning, you know, firearms basically coming out of the bullpen, those weapons. And, you know, last year it was Keegan Thompson, but, you know, he hasn't been fully locked in. His velo's been sitting 90 to 92 this spring. So, you know, does Javier Assad slide into that role? And they're certainly not ruling out putting him in the bullpen to start the year. And it'll be interesting to see kind of how all those pieces fit together. You know, they've talked a lot about how they're going to have some tough decisions, which is a good sign. It means that you've increased the talent that you have in the organization. On the flip side, it means you might lose some guys who, if they don't have minor league options left, or if they do, you might have to option them to Iowa to maintain some of that depth. So it really is going to be quite the puzzle that they have to put together.
How hurt is Brandon Hughes? And secondary question, as I look at the bullpen construction and roster construction, did the Cubs maybe put too much on him? Is he more valuable than he maybe should be?
Well, in terms of him and his knee has apparently been bothering him throughout the spring. You know, we found out from Tommy Hottovy earlier in camp that he was a little bit behind other guys. The indication was that, you know, because he had such a heavy workload last year and really, you know, as a converted outfielder, you know, experiencing that not only the big leagues for the first time, but pitching that many innings and especially the high leverage spots he got in the second half, that they wanted to back off him a little bit in the offseason into spring. But now, you know, with apparently dealing with his knee bothering him the last few weeks, you know, they certainly aren't going to push him. So it'll be interesting to see. You know, they still have a couple of non-roster left-handed relievers in camp, including Ryan Barucki, who's a local guy. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, do they ultimately feel okay going into the season without a left-hander in the bullpen if he's not ready. That probably paves the way for someone like Mark Leiter Jr., who was lights out against lefty and had really strong reverse splits because of his splitter. And so, yeah, again, that's another piece of the puzzle they have to figure out. And just in terms of, you know, too much expectation or you know, workload on him coming into the season and the expectations of what they need from Brandon Hughes, I mean, maybe a little bit, but if you have guys in the bullpen that can still neutralize those left-handers, you know, he doesn't necessarily become the guy that you have to always go to in a big spot with a left-hander up. You know, I think they did see last year that he's capable of handling those moments, which is huge. I mean, he recorded a couple saves. You know, he had a few setup opportunities that he thrived in. So I think based on what they saw last year, they felt comfortable with that and obviously ultimately didn't sign a veteran left-hander to the 40-man. So I think that says a lot about their belief in him and what he's capable of doing.
I don't want to be this person, but I have to be this person. I feel like there's an excellent chance Nick Madrigal is the team's starting third baseman.
I mean, I think it's certainly a possibility. I mean, I think the biggest obviously thing for him is he has to hit. You know, they need that contact guy. If he can be someone that is consistently getting on base and, you know, making contact, putting the ball in play, you know, that certainly is going to help him. It'll be interesting to see how they kind of divvy up the playing time between third base and right field to start the season. You know, with Seiya Suzuki out, how comfortable are they playing Patrick Wisdom out there? How much will they use Trey Mancini in right versus DHing? And then obviously if they add somebody like Mike Tauchman, a non-roster invite to the 40-man, you know, he can play all three outfield spots as well. But I definitely think, you know, at the very least, he's in play to share time at third base, which is, you know, a credit to him and the work that he put in the off season, working with Andy Green, who went down to Arizona to work with Madrigal and Nico Horner for about a week in January. And so I think it says a lot about Madrigal and his willingness to put in the work to be able to play. And honestly, he's looked really solid over there at third. So it's going to be interesting to see on a day-to-day basis how David Ross kind of constructs that lineup.
Well, and I know Seiya Suzuki is getting better faster than people anticipated. But I also ask, what's the rush? And I think part of it is in trying to figure out who's going to play where if Seiya Suzuki's not on the opening day roster. And I assume Mancini would be in right because he has a lot of time in the outfield. He's like whatever, 2,000 innings or something. And then trying to figure out who's at, respectively, then first base and DH, because it feels like all of those things are affected by the one.
Yeah, I mean, it really seems like it's going to be mix and match until Suzuki's back, which, I mean, it seems like the optimistic goal would be mid-April, depending on how many at-bats he wants in extended spring training and then through his minor league rehab assignment. So if you're trying to survive 2 to 3 weeks, I mean, certainly, obviously, matchups will play a big role in that. You know, I could see them rotating anybody from Mancini, Wisdom, Tauchman, if he ends up on the opening day roster. They certainly could all be used in right field. And then kind of the ripple effect of that is, like, at third base, you can have Madrigal. You can have Edwin Rios, who's been getting some time there and has been looking really good as a power lefty bat. And then, you know, DH, you have, again, Mancini. You have Eric Hosmer on days maybe you don't want him at first base. Again, Edwin Rios. Like, they certainly have a ton of options to mix and match. So it'll be really interesting to see, especially, you know, that first week, who David Ross runs with in the starting lineup.
I have Dansby Swanson batting 059 in spring training, is 2 for 34. I know when I talk to Steve Stone about stuff like this, he says he didn't care one way or the other, good, bad, indifferent. It flatly does not matter. I don't know if you agree similarly, and I don't know what Dansby himself thinks, but do you sense that there's any concern?
I don't think spring in general is that huge for more of the veteran guys who, you know, there might be specific things they're working on. You know, as a hitter, maybe it's, hey, I really want to focus on being able to drive the ball the opposite way. You know, I think for Dansby, you know, just watching him these last few weeks, I think it's just a timing thing. He's just working on getting that timing down. He's just a little off. It's hard to say what the level of concern would be. I mean, obviously you'd want to see him rocketing the ball all over the field going into the first week of the season. But also, I mean, he didn't have a great spring last year and he got off to a little slow start, but then he had, you know, arguably his best all around season of his career. So it's really hard to put stock in spring struggles. I mean, obviously it's a completely new organization he's with, new teammates, you're changing spring training from Florida to Arizona. Like, there's just a lot of change going on these past couple weeks. So I'm certainly curious to see how he gets off to a start these first couple weeks, because there obviously will be a lot of attention on the guy who's gotten the second largest free agent contract in Cubs history. I mean, inherently that's going to come with outside pressure, and he certainly understands that there's going to be more scrutiny on him, that he's the face of this team, and the responsibilities that come with that. So I think certainly everyone involved would like him to get off to a good start, but I think it's really coming down to a timing thing and just trying to sync up everything in the box.
I also just want to ask how you feel, if at all, Edwin Rios fits into this.
Yeah, I mean, he's a really interesting guy. I mean, you look at his numbers with the Dodgers when he was in the majors. I mean, he's a home run machine. And this is an offense that certainly needs guys that can, you know, score runs in bunches with one swing. I mean, it's something that, you know, Jed Hoyer said at his end of season presser that they needed to find more ways to score runs a lot at once and not go to that station-to-station offense. And so he certainly, the spring has shown, like, you know, he's capable of being that guy. And you're right, like, he doesn't have an obvious everyday spot in the lineup. And again, you know, could see him at third, you could see him at first, you could see him as the DH. There's certainly ways to get him at bats and maximize matchups if he ends up making the team. So it'll be interesting to see how they try and tap into that power when he doesn't have a lockdown everyday starting spot.
Megan Montemurro, outstanding stuff. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Thanks, Megan.
That's Megan Montemurro of the Chicago Tribune. You heard something that you said was fun when you were watching White Sox.
It is fun. Yeah. It involves somebody we know very well. Yes. But there's an unknown fact that I didn't know, and I'm kind of surprised.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
Sometimes when you watch spring training baseball, you find out things that you did not know. And I'm glad you happened upon this.
You know, in the words of Mark Trestman, can you just play the drop?
Which one?
I've been here for 3 days straight, and I haven't heard the Trestman drop, and I need it. I need it like I need my coffee. You know the one. The Undertaker does apply here. By the way, there was a time in my life when I thought nobody could stop him.
I haven't heard any of that. I didn't hear all of it. I heard a lot about most of it, but what I did hear, I did not hear any of that.
That's how I felt watching every game yesterday that was on. But I happened upon some pretty cool stuff in the White Sox game. I knew you would like this, okay. And you were skeptical in the meeting. And I get why you were skeptical.
You suggest a segment. Usually I just come with up with a cute line for it and I write it in.
And then Daniel would make a noise like,
Okay.
Yeah, that's it.
That's usually what I say.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm like, hey, I have this idea. And he's like, okay.
You're the content machine.
Hey, speaking of, I have a housekeeping schedule update for us that I'll tell you about in the break. I stumbled upon this aside, which Dan is already excited about. So yes. Let's just tell you this part. Did you know Steve Stone had a side hustle?
No.
Well, it was unique. Let me put it to you that way. I didn't do it very long because it seemed a little depressing, actually.
Well, did
you know,
it?
Yeah, you got to go in the house saying, you don't look too healthy today, so let me pass this by you.
That's literally what you did in the off season?
Yeah.
So what was your pitch to people?
Well, if it's going to happen, you might as well plan ahead.
So
okay. Along those lines.
So what deal were you offering these people who you were being entirely rude to?
Well, we couldn't go a two-for-one deal. That's never any good. So we just went, you know, just get it now because the price of funerals were going up.
Okay.
Yeah, that was pretty much
so
it.
So there was funeral inflation that you were trying to stave off on behalf of your future clients.
Exactly right. Yeah, it wasn't a great job, but you had to pick up a few bucks wherever you could, you know?
How did you select your clientele? Did you go door to door?
They gave you a list of, I guess, people who've been sick recently. I don't know. Exactly. Yeah, you said, hey, look.
There is a 0% chance this doesn't end up on Awful Announcing. 0% chance. That was literally what you did in the offseason?
Yeah, that was one of them. I did a few. A welcome wagon was another one.
You were both a prepaid funeral salesman and a welcome wagon representative?
Yeah. You didn't know if you were coming or going. That was the problem.
I knew you'd love it.
Wait, but that's the best. He worked at a welcome wagon and selling prepaid funerals.
Okay. So now you know, I didn't say it until you heard it, but Steve Stone in the minor leagues sold funerals as part of his side hustle.
That's going to cost more next year. You might as well do it now.
Can you imagine Steve Stone in just quintessential broadcast voice, like trying to pitch funerals?
In uniform. That's just hysterical. How does one end up with that?
How have we never talked to him about this?
Yeah.
By the way, that's Jason Benetti and Steve Stone at NBC Sports Chicago. I'm so excited to hear the two of them this year.
I'd like to talk to you about your death.
Can we play it one more time? And Dan, don't cut off your mic. We just need the laugh.
Well, it was unique. Let me put it to you that way. I didn't do it very long because it seemed a little depressing, actually.
Oh, did
you know,
it?
Yeah, you got to go in the house saying, you don't look too healthy today, so let me pass this by you.
That's literally what you did in the off season?
Yeah.
So what was your pitch to people?
Well, if it's going to happen, you might as well plan ahead. So okay. Along those lines.
So what deal were you offering these people who you were being entirely rude to?
Well, we couldn't go a two-for-one deal. That's never any good. So we just went, you know, just get it now because the price of funerals were going up.
Okay.
Yeah, that was pretty much
so it. So there was funeral inflation that you were trying to stave off on behalf of your future clients.
Exactly right. Yeah, it wasn't a great job, but you had to pick up a few bucks wherever you could, you know?
How did you select your clientele? Did you go door to door?
They gave you a list of, I guess, people who have been sick recently. I don't know. Exactly. Yeah, you said, hey, look.
There is a 0% chance this doesn't end up on Awful Announcing. 0% chance. That was literally what you did in the offseason?
Yeah, that was one of them. I did a few. A welcome wagon was another one.
You were both a prepaid funeral salesman and a welcome wagon representative?
Yeah. You didn't know if you were coming or going. That was the problem.
Is that not amazing?
And people have no idea what welcome wagon is.
I could use a refresher.
Welcome wagon. I don't even know if it's still
it's
around.
It's if you move to a neighborhood,
yes,
right?
Yes, it's a business that sort of goes to local merchants or works with the Chamber of Commerce, that basically when you arrive, when you buy a house, somebody from the welcome wagon will show up and say, hey, welcome to the neighborhood.
Buying a house.
Here are you know, our affiliated, here's coupons, or, you know, pizza delivery or this, or what you need to get your shirts cleaned. And it was a vehicle for businesses to introduce themselves to new residents.
The post office just sends you a bunch of deals now and you change your address.
Well, I remember when the phone book would arrive and you get the yellow page, like, well, hey, and now there's coupons in here for things.
God, the phone book, so tedious.
Yeah, but there was something satisfying about it.
It
was also, as a little kid,
you stand on them.
As a little kid, that was one of the ways you learned about alphabetical order and how to find things. And my mom would say something like, look up something in the yellow pages. And I would say, I'll do it. And I'd come running in.
Hold on.
And she'd slam the yellow pages down and she'd say, well, you know, find whatever it is.
You're questioning firemen about what fire engine they're using.
Yes.
Child Dan is interesting. We need more of that on the show.
Well, I wasn't that into it. I just read a lot.
Yeah, you were a sponge.
I just spent a lot of time reading and watching crappy television.
That tracks. I mean, that was a lot of us before the internet. Here's what I want to ask you. We have this gold mine of information. How do we use it? We have Steve Stone on the score.
Mm-hmm.
Something must be done. Do we turn this into a game?
The texters are having so much fun with this.
They're having an amazing time. And I'm glad everybody's a fan of knowing the Undertaker's music. How great is that we all know the Taker's music?
An email from Glenn who says, for all you kids out there, it's never too early to think about your eventual death. He can combine it. He can show up with a welcome wagon.
630, aren't you the same guy who welcomed me to this town?
Yes, well, you're very sick. You'll be dead soon. Dressed as the... Yes, hold on a second. I have to change into my other work uniform. And he comes back with a scythe, and he's dressed as the Grim Reaper.
847 for all you young undertakers out there. Yes. Also, like, Steve's voice, there's something about the backdrop of the baseball game that just makes this so funny to me. We've got to ask him about this. This is not going to go unnoticed on this here radio station. Something must be done.
Just knocking on doors. You're very sick. You'll be dead soon. No, actually, I feel fine. No, no, you're very, very ill.
Well, you can ask him Monday.
He's on Monday? Oh, no, he's not. Right. Are you serious?
Yes.
Well, guess Dude. What, kids? So am I.
What?
Yeah, that just happened.
What happened?
I'm on Monday.
You are?
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Because you're all powered up from Sunday night sports, and you come in all sportsy, and you're like, well, last night I got this highlight, and last night we talked to all these famous sports people, and we saw these sports things, and I have all this sports stuff. And I'm like, okay.
I had that happen yesterday, kind of, but I got too overextended and was watching too many games at the same time. My head exploded. And I'm like, hey, Dan, do you see the secret Villanova play that Gonzaga ran? Wait, that's the answer. Fail.
I heard you like sports, so we put some sports in your sports.
I would not have a lot of sleep, and then I get a little sarcastic and punchy because I'd have watched a Bears game. I mean, I was having a 12-hour work day, and then I'd come here and I had to talk about the Bears being bad.
Well, now you'll be back in Monday as well.
I've still got the same Cubs questions, man. There's a lot going on with that lineup that I just don't understand.
And you've had a big pile of Bears thoughts that have been sitting on a back burner that you've wanted to get to.
I do have a big pile of Bears thoughts, but really it's about GMs in general, and I think we should all go down this path together. Do you really have a choice at this point? Taker says you have to do it. Get your eyeliner. Let's go on the score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.